Here we are. It's 10 after 12, and we're headed for the performance studio. And Susan Lewis is there with a special guest this afternoon. Susan?
Thanks so much, Jack. Yes, we are very excited back here. We are here with violinist Mark O'Connor and his wife Maggie O'Connor. And Deborah Lou Harder, WRTI's own Deborah Lou Harder, is on the piano accompanying Mark. Mark, welcome, and Maggie, welcome.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
A look at the Grammy Awards you've won, Mark, gives some sense of your incredible range. You won Best Country Instrumental Performance in 1992 for the new Nashville Cats, Best Crossover Album in 2001 for Appalachian Journey with Yo-Yo Ma and Edgar Meyer, and Best Bluegrass Album in 2017 for your Coming Home with the O'Connor Band. What a range.
Yeah, and it's over a long period of time, too, which is so wonderful to note that people are still listening to me after all these decades.
Now, today you're playing for us several pieces from your O'Connor Method book. How did you select what we're going to hear now?
Well, book three in the O'Connor Method has a lot of lovely arrangements I put together for classics and a few original pieces, but with piano accompaniment. And these pieces are really wonderful for students of the O'Connor Method to perform in recitals or even concerts, which I have done before. So I picked out three of my favorites, including an original piece that the students really seem to love. It's in this minor key, and it's very emotional. And I love the depth of American music in these beginning stages for students, because you can really allow your emotions to find a nice place, a safe place. But really, the full range of emotions are involved in American music from the early ages.
So why don't we get right to the music?
This is a piece called Rain Clouds, and I composed it dedicated to all those rain clouds, not just here today, but in Seattle, where I grew up, and rain was a part of our life.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. That was really beautiful. Rain clouds. Thank you, Deborah. And thank you, Mark. Mark, what made you fall in love with the violin? I understand that when you first picked up the violin, you were already accomplished on the guitar in classical music and flamenco.
Yeah. And I was just getting into bluegrass as well in country music. Loved Johnny Cash. Sang his songs when I was a little kid. And so I had this kind of world of music already at my feet. And the violin just presented itself. I saw it on television, asked my mom for one. And by the time I was 11, I started taking lessons. But right away, I felt that it was this emotional release for me. I was thinking of things that I couldn't interpret, verbally. And when I picked up the violin, I started to feel the whole range of emotions that a child can have. And I was able to release it through the violin.
Do you think that's unusual to be able to use the violin to make music and create music as opposed to just learning notes and reading music on the staff?
As it turns out, it was unusual for our time. It seems so natural to me now, and it was natural for hundreds of years to see a musical instrument as a completely creative body of opportunity and really a chance to communicate to audiences, to friends, to family members, through your own creativity. It was only later that I found that what I was doing was not really nurtured in our culture, unfortunately, anymore. Fritz Kreisler being really the last famous violinist that composed his own works. And that ends a tradition of literally hundreds of years of violin player composers. And so, I was just naturally gravitated towards it, and I was able to make my career in classical music and jazz and folk music out of my own composing and creativity.
And that's why you also decided to create the Mark O'Connor Method.
Yeah, it was a really big, message that I was getting clearly, that there were a lot more kids like myself that wanted to plug into the creative aspects of being an artist and a musician. And not just approach it as a technical challenge, especially when you're, a child. And I think that's the part where, a child's life is very creative anyway. So to apply some of that to your music lesson plan, I think made all the sense in the world. And we weren't really doing that, especially in violin. People do that a lot with guitar, though. And just the nature of being able to, say, play guitar or piano and being able to play a chord. You can hear harmony in that. With piano, you've got two hands, so you've got some counterpoint that you can create. It's just the violin that becomes over-technical, and I think it's unnecessary, especially at the beginning stages. And so the O'Connor Method really celebrates the music of Americana, Mexico, Canada, South America, all over the United States, all these beautiful styles that are very creative. And people forget that the African Americans were really responsible for a lot of American string playing and music. The genres that are staples in our music today, the blues, the hoedown itself. It's no longer an Irish reel when it's a hoedown. The African Americans were responsible for that. Also, Native American fiddlers early on in the Southeast for 200 years before the Trail of Tears happened. So the American violin has an incredible musical history, and we feature the music from all these hundreds of years, classics, and they're really inspiring students. Tens of thousands of students now are learning to play violin, viola, cello, and string instruments through the O'Connor Method.
That's great. If you're just joining us, we're in the WRTI Performance Studio with Mark O'Connor. Mark, what's the next thing we'll hear?
Well, speaking of African-American music, the African-American spiritual is a staple and foundation of all American music. I don't even think we would have anything after it without the spiritual. It's a backdrop for everything we play and do. And a lot of my pieces, my improvisation, is based on this kind of ideal of hoping for a better future and using our music to get us there. This is a classic in the repertoire, Deep River.
that music kind of wraps around you like a warm shawl on this rainy day. Beautiful.
It sure does. I love playing that. You know, Yasha Heifetz used to play that. And one of America's first famous violinists, Maud Powell, used to play it. So it's got really wonderful traditions in early American classical music, too. So I just love having, you know, students learn this beautiful music early on.
Well, I love the way you celebrate the music of the Americas. And you mentioned how the fiddle or the violin was so important to so many different cultures in different ways, going way back. We talked earlier about the difference between calling it a violin and a fiddle. Mm-hmm. Are those terms interchangeable in your mind?
Yes, more so than ever now. I mean, we've used this sort of discrepancy, I guess, to our advantage, because we want to be able to tell students and audiences alike that, you know, musicians should be able to do it all. We train for this. We should be able to have access to the music out there that moves us, and we should be participating. To say that we can't do this or that is no longer, I think, a solution for a lot of music students today. And we shouldn't be leaving out the beautiful American culture that has supported some of the greatest music easily over the last 100 years, not 150 years. It really has been a huge footprint of Americana on the art scene. And the strings should be a central role in that always.
And is that why you called your first classical composition a fiddle concerto?
Yeah, I brought those two words right into the same moniker. And it really threw people at first, honestly. they didn't know what to think of it. And it's now become the most performed violin concerto written in the last 50 years, which is an extraordinary stat. And I'm still invited to play it. Matter of fact, I'm going to perform it for the opening season with the New Hampshire Symphony in the fall. So still, people are seeking out this music, and I'm so grateful for it.
That's great. And I understand the next piece goes back to Mexico.
Yes. Mexico and Hispanic culture has influenced Americana big time over many, many years. And this is really an incredible kind of story where the early German population started to settle in then northern Mexico in the early 1800s. They brought the accordion and the polka with them. That influenced the local Hispanic population. And then because of that, we have ranchero and mariachi music. There's a fiddle tune that I grew up playing in fiddle contests all around the country. And I never knew quite where it came from. And doing the histories of our music for the lesson plan and the books has been really rewarding. I knew about 50% of it, 75% of it even. But to research that last 25%, and just put a stamp on it for people to really understand where our music came from, how valuable it was establishing our citizenry. This polka is a Mexican polka, and it became an American fiddle tune standard called Jesse Polka.
Thank you.
Yeah, we all were dancing on the sidelines there. That was great.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Well, you're in town here for a couple of reasons. You are playing your Concerto No. 6, Old Brass, with a Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia.
Fantastic,
on
yeah.
Sunday and Monday.
Yes. Look forward to it. It's an incredible chamber orchestra. We had an incredible rehearsal yesterday, and I'm so excited to do this performance.
Now, what's the role of improvisation in your playing? When you play something like that, is there improvisation involved?
The cadenza. Yeah, so I'm going to take the themes in my own piece and then start improvising on them, turn some of them right into a hoedown, as I often do. But I'm just really excited about this because the string playing in this orchestra, as well as the winds, are just phenomenal.
And it's called Old Brass, which I understand is in reference to a plantation somewhere.
Yes, Frank Lloyd Wright designed his only one and only plantation in Beaufort, South Carolina. And I visited the place for a day and was inspired by his work, how his interface to nature creatively inspired my piece. And so it's a dedication to his work.
That's very exciting. And that's Sunday and Monday at the Kimmel Center at the Perlman Theater with the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia. Now you're also performing with Maggie, a duo.
Yes, our duo concert tomorrow night at Ram's Head on stage in Annapolis. And we do a lot of duo shows in addition to the Mark O'Connor Band, which features two more family members, and you mentioned earlier, won the Grammy. So sometimes we do a breakout duo concert, and we'll do that tomorrow night while we're in the area.
Well, we're so lucky that Maggie's here as well,
yeah.
And we get to hear some of this music.
She's a wonderful violinist, and we're going to play, all those three pieces are from our book three of the O'Connor Method. Now we're going to play something right out of book five, our final chapter, and it's called FC's Jig.
Okay, and now if you're just joining us, we are in the WRTI Performance Studio with Mark O'Connor and Maggie O'Connor, live with Deborah Lou Harder on the piano. Well, not on this one, but...
All right.
Thank you.
That was so joyful. Were you having as much fun playing it as we were having listening to it?
Wow, yes.
Well, I was a little terrified, actually.
Well, now, Mark, you grew up in Seattle, lived in Nashville, moved to California, and have had all these different influences. Maggie, you went to Peabody and studied classical music. How
yes, I
did all these influences come into your life?
Well, I feel like I kind of had the O'Connor Method before the O'Connor Method was written. I grew up listening to Mark's music, and he really, his career and what he's done really inspired me to pursue music professionally because I knew I could play everything. I didn't have to choose between fiddling and violin, classical music. I just love great music on this beautiful instrument. And so we do it all.
And this, what you just played was FC's Jig from this album, Duo, which has a lot more numbers on it. What do we, are we getting another one here too?
Sure, we could play. So FC's Jig is an excerpt of my fiddle concerto. And let's play something out of book four. This is St. Louis Blues. It's wonderful. W.C. Handy was credited with some of the first blues and jazz compositions. And we have an old picture of his band from 1917 out of Memphis with a cello in it, which is so great because the interface of strings has been there in Americana for a long time. And so we're kind of reintroducing that concept back through this series and through our performances. But this is St. Louis Blues.
Thank you.
You sing too. You play classical music. You play bluegrass. You play crossover music. You have the Mark O'Connor Method. You have string camps all over the country. You play also with your son and daughter-in-law in the Mark O'Connor Band. And you are playing this summer.
Yes, we're opening the Zach Brown Band Tour, summer tour, and we're going to be playing places that I've never imagined playing before, like Fenway Park. And we're going to be at Hershey Stadium. So within the sound of our voice, you can come to see us this summer with Zach Brown Band. And it's so exciting. We're going to be able to take these acoustic instruments and play in huge venues like this.
That is so awesome. Do you feel with all of these activities that you're doing that you are breaking down some of the barriers that exist between different genres of music?
I think so. I mean, I felt kind of isolated starting this whole idea out 30 years ago, especially with strings. But now we have more and more company, you know, and Zach Brown himself is a huge champion of this kind of idea of a melting, melding the styles and genres together. He loves our group, loves our music. Matter of fact, he produced a new song on us that we're going to be releasing here in the next couple weeks. So look out for that, too.
Whoa. So would you like to do another song from the duo before we end?
Sure. We could do it. You want to do Appalachia Waltz?
Okay.
This is kind of a piece that also kind of started it all for me, because when I showed this to Yo-Yo Ma, kind of the ground rules changed for American string playing. And this piece sold a million CDs. I love playing it as a duo as well. We feature these violin duos within the Method books because we want people, you know, students, young people, to seek out at least one more player that they could play with, to share with each other all the things that make music so wonderful, not just the melody all the time, but harmony and rhythm, counterpoint. And so you can experience all that with just two players. And so this is Appalachia Waltz.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appalachian Waltz, performed live by Mark O'Connor and Maggie O'Connor. Beautiful.
Thank you so much for having us. We really enjoyed being here.
I would love to thank Deborah Lou Harder, WRTI's own Deborah Lou Harder, for playing the piano. Deb, do you have anything else to add?
It was just a terrific honor to play with you, Mark, and what beautiful music.
Thank you. Thank you for doing a terrific job with the music, too. Thank you.
And we'd like to remind everyone that Mark's Concerto for Old Brass will be played at the Kimmel Center with the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia on Sunday and Monday. Tickets
Sunday
still
Sunday matinee, too.
Sunday matinee at 2:30, Monday at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow night, you and Maggie will be performing in Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
What are the details there?
Yeah, Ram's Head at 8 o'clock, and we look forward to that. I'll be also playing some guitar there tomorrow night, too. Got my guitar playing brushed up and ready to go again.
Great. Wow. Well, we're so lucky to have you here. So happy to have you here. Thank you so much. Good luck with the concerts this weekend, and come back anytime.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.